Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show. On air, online, and around the world. With the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author, Matt Adams.
Good morning, one and all. Delighted to have your company from wherever you're joining us around the world. We are still in our home away from home, just outside of New York City. I'm up here at NBC Sports, hosting shows for Golf Channel this week. Well, where we're going today has me so pumped. And I think the information that we're about to share with you will blow your mind, because we're going to go down the road of the philosophy, of the execution, definitely the mystery that surrounds putting, because it's a really interesting subject. We are about to have on the show a legend who is one of the greatest putters of all time, full stop. And the thing that I've always found that's interesting when talking to great putters is you'll have this conversation go, hey, what is it? What's the secret? And the great putters will say, oh, you just look at the hole and do it. What? What are we missing? Here's where I'm going with this. If you look at the great ball strikers on tour, I'm talking about world-class ball strikers on tour, and then compare what they do when they have the flat stick in their hand, the numbers at times are absolutely shocking. And I can look at it from an inverse position too and say, okay, the people who are not even average in their approach to greens that are exceptional when they have the flat stick in their hand. What is this disconnect? Take a look at this graphic that Dom and Andrew put together this morning that illustrates exactly what we're talking about. It is amazing. Scottie Scheffler is 168th. This was on the full season last year. That's why we used last year as our standard, although the official world golf ranking is current. Strokes game approach, however, he's first. Colin Morikawa, strokes game putting, 114th. Approach, he is second. And you can see, again, look to the right column and see where they are with the official world golf rankings. Tony Finau, defending champion this week, 125th. Fifth in approach, 24th in the world. Gary Woodland, 186th. Gary's a little bit different in terms of measurement here because he was ill last year, but nonetheless, the numbers are what they are for discussion purposes today. Sixth in approach, 116th in the world. Adam Scott, as an example, 143rd in putting, 19th in approach, number 48 in the world. Now, let's flip the coin. Maverick McNealy, putting, he's number one on tour. He's 159th in approach. He's 144th in the world. Taylor Montgomery, second in putting, 181st in approach, 88th. You can see I'm going to keep going down. McCarthy, third. That's Denny. 85th in approach. He's 46th in the world. Harry Hall, fourth. 163rd. He's 162nd in the world. Sam Burns is eighth in putting. He's 129th in approach. He's 18th in the world. And strokes gained putting for Justin Suh, he is 10th. He's 125th in strokes gained approach and 83rd in the world. So there's a few things that you can draw from this. One is that great ball striking still by average, if you look at that chart, the average position, world golf rankings for the great ball strikers was 40.6, right? And that was brought up because we included Gary Woodland there as an example. He's 116th, so it brought the whole average up. If he didn't have that, it would be far closer to about 18th. As when you look at the great putters, their average world golf ranking is 90th. It's really interesting because the old, you know, drive for show, putt for dough, while there is merit to that approach, it's showing us that great ball strikers still at times can trump the bulky putter. Now, it isn't because they're just simply beating the putter. It's because at times the putter decides to cooperate. And when the putter decides to cooperate, they do amazing things, like win major championships, like get ranked number one in the world. But at other times, it is so frustrating watching them because the putts just refuse to drop. The question is why? So we today are climbing the mountain and we're going to find him in his cave somewhere, sitting cross-legged, to find out how and why putting is the mystery that putting is. It is absolutely a delight to welcome to the show a PGA Tour legend, Lauren Roberts. Can I go to a better source than this? The boss of the Moss, an eight-time winner on the PGA Tour. He won 13 times on the PGA Tour champions, including four senior majors amongst that. He was a 1995 United States Ryder Cup team member. He was a 94 and 2000 President's Cup team member as well. And listen to this. This talk about grinding it out. 632 starts on the PGA Tour. 293 starts on PGA Tour champions. Combined, that's 925 career starts. He had 106 top five finishes. 20 of those were runner-ups as well. Cannot wait to get into all this with Lauren Roberts. Lauren, how have you been?
I've been great. Yeah, doing good.
Is there any greater evidence of the golfing gods than the chart that we just showed you? I'll have the guys put it back up on the screen again to get your comment on it.
Well, you know, it's still ball striking is obviously still the important thing, all right? But, you know, you can, and I look at my career and say, well, okay, you know, I had an ice run tour, and it was basically the putter that really kind of saved me and got me up in there. And, but, you know, you've got to combine both of them. If you're going to win, you've got to combine both of them for that week. And, you know, there are different ways to putt, and I have my ideas about what I did and what I do. I've looked at other players and see what they do. And, you know, we got a lot to talk about today. So looking forward to it.
Dude, I cannot wait to get into this because it is such a mystery to me. I think about the words, I'd have to paraphrase because I forget Lee Trevino's exact quote where he said, God doesn't give everything to everybody. And in his reference, he was talking about Jack Nicklaus with the wedge in the hand back in the day. But it seems to apply with the putters versus the ball strikers. Can I just start there with you, Lauren? Can you have any theory as to why it is that a player that is such a consummate ball striker seems to have difficulty the majority of the time, except for these flashes, with a putter?
You know, obviously it's the focus on what that player does the best and what that player feels like he does the best. That's what he's going to focus the most on. You know, there are different ways to putt, just like there are different ways to swing. You know, when I first started, there were a lot of different golf swings out there. Now, the guys, most of the players, they all kind of more look alike, you know, than when I first started. Because there are some basic approaches that everybody has to do when it comes to golf swing to create speed and all that sort of thing. But putting, to me, is more about feel, and I'm going to just, and I don't know what this stat looks like, but this is what I've always kind of felt like. If you're one of the best ball strikers, you're going to be, you know, knocking at 8-10 feet a lot, okay? And you're not going to miss as many greens, so you're not going to be chipping it up as close, you know. So I don't know. I think there's when you're hitting it 8 or 10 feet every hole, it's tough to make a lot of those, and I don't know, and I'm just throwing this out there. I don't know if that weighs into the stats or not, but you could probably tell me that.
Well, I mean, I can give you an example. Last year's Open, I was assigned to Cam Young, so I was with him for the final 36 holes, every shot he hit. And I will tell you honestly, I think he should have won the Open at Royal Liverpool by at least 10 shots. He could not make a putt. In your experience, when you were watching great ball strikers back in the day at the height of your prowess, and they couldn't get the ball in the hole the majority of the time, but they were such great ball strikers that they had more opportunities for birdie, like you're pointing out, so they made enough that they were in contention or they would break through and they would win. What's it like for you as a great putter when you're watching someone who just seems to naturally struggle the majority of the time with a putter in hand?
You know, I think, God, if you know you're struggling a little bit, and I think a lot of people would think this way, I mean, it would be something that could be in the back of their mind. They start putting a little more pressure on themselves, and you start looking for different things to do. I mean, I've seen guys that actually change what they are trying to do with the putter in the middle of the round. I mean, just to try to make some more putts. It just, you have to figure out what is going to work for you and just stick with that. Really great ball strikers. I've always thought, gosh, I would have loved to have been that. But I did just, and this is just me saying that when I played, I used to always kind of use the term, okay, just get me on the green, and now you're in my stadium, okay? that was the mental approach I used to do, so.
If I take a look at Lauren Roberts in that regard, this is interesting because it does provide us with the contrast we're talking about. I went back to, it's difficult because when you go back to your days in the PGA Tour, they didn't have the strokes gain stats coming in the way they do now. But right. I went back to 2002. And the reason why I picked 2002 is because it was one of the later years in which you won. And again, I emphasize, it was a year in which this man won on the PGA Tour. 125 to 150 yards, ranked 128th. 75 to 100 yards, ranked 123rd. 50 to 75 yards, 112th. Total driving, 135th. Driving distance, 192nd. Now, I'm not saying those stats, Lauren, to diminish you. I'm saying that to celebrate you, because here you were in these areas that weren't even to the average, but you won in that year, and it was a long run of winning that you had done on the PGA Tour. So, again, now you got them in your stadium when you get them on the green. The first question I would love to know for you is your philosophy on putting, but don't tell me. Save it for when we come back. The Fairways of Life show is presented by the PGA Tour Superstore. They are the number one golf retailer from coast to coast, a big new store opening up in Virginia this weekend. Check it out, pgatoursuperstore.com, your happy place.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover. Designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bees, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron, the longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try these. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to BoyneGolf.com. Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. Our guest is eight-time PGA Tour winner Lauren Roberts, one of the greatest putters in the history of the game. And Dom put out our question of the day today in which he said, do you believe you are a good putter? And right now, just under 60% are coming back and saying no. So let's pick up right from there, Lauren Roberts. Is putting and putting performance in any way predicated on belief?
You've got to have a positive attitude if you're gonna be well about it. I mean, if you're standing over a putt, then this is my thinking about it. If you're standing over a putt and you don't feel like you're gonna make it, and you feel like, well, I'm struggling, what am I gonna do here? I missed a lot. You know, you've got to have a positive attitude about what you're gonna do. But you know, if it doesn't go in, you gotta forget it. You move on to the next one. You gotta forget that way. You've always got to be positive about it. You know, and obviously I had bad weeks putting too. I mean,
come on.
Yeah. I had some bad weeks too. Dude, I missed a 5-foot putt that would have won me the Open in Oakmont, for heaven's sakes, on the last hole. So, okay, I miss them too, you know?
Yeah, but anytime anybody judges themselves on missing a putt at Oakmont, that is a very, very difficult standard.
Oh, gosh.
Did you ever have putting performances, good or bad, I guess would be the question, but I suspect it's the former. Did you ever have putting performances that even surprised you?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of when it would have been, but I tried to forget it. You know, I'm sure I had bad tournaments and bad weeks where I didn't putt good. And, I'd try to forget it. I'd get past it. Just forget it ever happened, you know.
What about on the positive side? Were there times when you were like, my gosh, I couldn't miss. Everything went in.
That's right. Yeah, I've had weeks where just everything went in. I mean, it didn't matter. But you were in a rhythm and you stayed in that rhythm. I'm sure most players on tour would tell you. And also, it's about the golf course you play, where you're playing, the type of grass you're on. But, you know, there were some courses that I could go play, and I loved them, and I couldn't finish out of the top 10 whatever year. Then other courses I could go play and could barely ever make the cut and play as good as I could play. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's just different courses for different guys, you know. But
what would you
I
say?
Always tried –
Go ahead. Are we sure?
You know, I always try to use the attitude that, okay, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to do the best I can. And if it doesn't go in, I've got to forget about it. But I always want to be positive about playing the round as far as just get me on the green and then I got a chance, you know? So you're always looking at yourself as being in a positive frame of mind.
Lauren, you and I haven't discussed putting and the execution and the philosophy of it and the emotion and the mystery of it to a great extent over the years. We've mostly talked about your career and what you accomplished and how you did it. But it's fascinating to me because I'm already sensing you going down the same road. I have had this discussion climbing the mount and talking to Dave Stockton. I have had this discussion in talking to Billy Casper. I remember both of them, like... In a lot of ways, like you, it's hard to grab onto something concrete. And I remember saying to Billy Casper one time, I said, Mr. Casper, can you tell me anything about putting that is something that's more concrete than visualization and just step up there and separate yourself from execution and blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, that way he would talk, it was deep, and he would say, well, Matt, I'm only going to tell you one thing. He said, whatever the back of your left hand is doing, that's what your putter face is doing. And I was like, yes, that's something good. And with Dave Stockton, it was the same thing. It was when we were doing the U.S. Open for ESPN. He was sitting next to me for hours. I had hours to pick his brain. Yeah. I just could. It was like trying to read clouds when someone has that innate putting ability. And he finally said, the only thing I'll tell you is that when you're going to putt, he said, I don't care how people putt. I don't care what they're moving. None of that matters to him. He told me what matters to him is that you do a full circle around the hole so that you can see all the variables that you're facing when you're trying to execute said putt. What of Lauren Roberts? Right. Is there something that you can give us that has a hook to it, a concrete? I know people right now are leaning forward towards their television and radios.
Well, yeah, I'm going to give you a lot of stuff because I feel very positive about some things. And obviously, we're going to talk about a lot of different things here. But when you just talked about walking around the green, when, believe it or not, you should be reading that putt before you ever get on the green. As you hit that shot on the green and you're walking up on the green, you need to be looking at the whole green and the tilts and where the runoffs are, so you can get a feeling of, well, how is this green absolutely placed? You're reading that, and I think a lot of players do it, and they don't realize they do it, but you're actually reading that putt before you ever get on the green, or you should be, because you're looking at the whole dynamics of what the green are. I like that, looking around on both sides. I would always generally be on the low side of a putt and then behind it. Now, if I had a little doubt on what I saw, then I'd go around the whole putt. But, you know, I'm reading that putt before I ever get on the green. And guys have played numbers of practice rounds on these golf courses, and they know what the greens are. I mean, my gosh, they have all these little books now where they used to be able to, you know, write down all the dimensions, but now you can't use that anymore. But, you know, you're reading it before you get on the green. Now, this is the one thing that I always say about putting that I know there's two different ways to see it. And you talk to Mike Shannon, who teaches putting down at Sea Island down there. And I've talked to him about this over the years. And, you know, there's two ways you see things. You're either linear or you're nonlinear. Okay. And that's a personality thing. What I always say is the most important thing about putting is speed control is the whole thing about putting. If you cannot control your speed, you cannot pick the line. You know, very few putts are straight putts out there, all right? So if you can't control your speed, how are you going to pick the line? That's my number one thing. Now, how you're going to control the speed is obviously with your stroke. Now, there's other ways to putt, you know, and I've discussed this with Crenshaw a little bit. And obviously, you look at Crenshaw's stroke. He's the absolute true arc putter, you know, true arc putter. I don't care if it was a wedge or a driver or a putter. That shot was going to go right to left. So when the putting, you know, he'd take that thing back, the toe open, and he released the toe through it and release it. He was a true arc putter. Now you look at Trevino. Now, okay, he took the left side of the golf course out of play. Now he could make it. He was so good. He could make it go any way he wanted to, whenever he wanted to. But primarily, in my observation, he would take the left side out of the golf course. So now he would be a square to square putter. He worked the heel through it, okay? Square to square. Now that's what I do. So there are different ways to do it, but the key is, how do you control your speed? Now, the putting stroke is a miniature golf swing, okay? It's a miniature golf swing. And when I see people that I've, you know, given some lessons to, just friends around I see, and I've even seen a couple of tour players do it. If I, on the backstroke, if I see that putter shaft go back, and that the butt end of that putter shaft is not pointed at their belt buckle on the back of the on the backstroke, they got no chance, because that it's got to be a golf swing. That thing has got to have a swing to it and a release, just like the full swing when you swing a golf club.
This is absolute gold. Lauren Roberts helping us to solve the mystery of putting on this day. We'll be back with more of this legend after these words. Stay with us, folks.
Relax.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try these. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com. Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Pushcart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with three locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today. Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. Pleasure to have your company from wherever you are joining us around the world. You can weigh in on the question of the day or be a part of our live discussion board by logging onto the Fairways of Life YouTube channel. So, Dom, what are you hearing right now? What's the return on your question of the day, which is, do you believe you are a good putter?
Right now, it's flip-flopped. 52% are saying yes now. Maybe some overconfidence there. I played a lot of hacker golf. I don't know about this 52%.
They're listening to Lauren Roberts and they're getting inspired.
That seems a little high. I feel like that number should be like like 11% or something like that.
I will
also,
say
if one more thing. There's a lot of stuff coming in. I hate to break in, but there's a lot of questions coming in, and maybe we can go straight to Lauren here.
Okay.
With everything you've been saying, Lauren, I've got people asking about Aimpoint. There's a lot of guys on tour now using that, and I'd be curious to see what you think about that. Is that a good method, in your opinion?
Well, see, I've never messed with it, so I don't know if it's about how you read the green with that, if that's what you're reading the green about or whatever. You know, I mentioned earlier, you're either you see things linear or you're non-linear. You either see the curvature of the putt or you see the putt as a straight putt to a spot left or right of the hole. To me, I am more about all speed. I want to see the curvature and I'm all speed. This is what I've always said. If I were to go to you and tell you to go stand on the other side of the room and throw a ball to me, okay, you're not going to throw a ball at someone. And I tell this to 25 handicappers. You're not going to throw a ball at me and have it go off at a 45-degree angle. You're always going to be somewhere in the vicinity of me. It's whether you throw it in the dirt or you throw it over my head. And that's speed control, okay? So whatever you need to do to control your speed, then you can pick the line. That's where you get the consistency.
That's interesting. You know, when you were talking, Lauren, about Ben Crenshaw, and you were talking in reference to speed control in types of putting, arc putting or, you know, square to square, if you will. Ben has told me that he actually decelerated into the ball. Now, is acceleration or deceleration relative to putting, is that something that doesn't really interest you? Because, again, it all comes back to speed control and whatever you need to do to get the ball to the target area?
It's what you need to do to be able to control your speed. I mean, you know, I see guys, they'll have a 12-foot putt and they'll knock it 4 feet by the hole. I mean, it's like, okay, that's not going to go in if it... if it does hit the hole. I got a great quote from Ben I'm going to give you. He said, you know, Lauren, he said, you know, you've got the hole. It can go right in the middle of the hole. It can go in either side of the hole, or it can be just like you're late for church on Sunday. You can come in the back door. Okay. So, I mean, it's just getting it around the hole. If it's got the right speed around the hole, it doesn't have to be on the perfect line. It's going to go in the hole.
Is there a personality type of a great putter?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like type A, type B, somebody that's generally pretty chill.
You know, I think, you know, anybody that's going to be successful, I think, doesn't matter what you do in life, it's going to be a little bit, okay, they're going to work at it. They want to do it. They're going to have their plan and they're going to execute it and they're going to work at it. That's the way I feel about that. You know, it's how you, what fits you. So,
by the way, my curiosity is overcoming me and I have to ask the question. What is sitting on that little serving tray to your left?
Right here?
Yeah.
Some apples and oranges and fruit.
Well, that makes sense. I thought they were donuts. That's why I was asking. I was going to be shocked that Lord Robert.
No.
Apples
okay,
and fruit.
Can I give you just a couple more physical things about the putting stroke that I think apply?
Yes, please.
Okay. You remember when guys were, you know, they until they outlawed it, you know, you could anchor on your chest here, okay? You could put it in your belly button here so you could have it. You could have it anchored. Now, what did that do to the shaft? Okay. That made the shaft swing because the butt end was anchored. Okay. So that made that thing, that putter swing. Okay. You didn't see the grip carried backwards and then the grip carried through. The putter actually swang through and the shaft would swing through the ball. I mean, that's what you want to have on the putting stroke because that's how you control your speed. It's just a smaller golf swing. And I've got a great drill. This one, and I give this drill to amateurs that I help when I see them out at the local golf courses and they ask me about putting. I said, okay, go find about a 20, 25 foot putt. If you're a right-handed player, put the putter in your right hand, stick your left hand in your pocket and just hit some 25 foot putts with just your right hand. For you to be able to hit it hard enough, what do you have to do? You have to set the angle on the backswing, don't you? And when you set the angle, the butt end of the shaft ends up pointing into your belly button area, okay? So you set the angle, and now you can put through it and release it. I've always felt, you know, when you mentioned Crenshaw, I felt like he decelled a little bit at impact. I always feel like that's the maximum speed at impact. So then your putter immediately starts slowing down after that, because I want to think of the putting stroke as a pure pendulum action.
This is absolutely gold. So do you think, Lauren, that any part of being a great putter, because I'm thinking about in the annals of the game where the gift of putting left players, you know, like a Ben Hogan, and for a while with Sam Snead and Arnold Palmer, there was a diminishment of putting over time. You never had that diminishment of putting. You don't believe that any part of being a great putter is a natural gift?
Well, yes, but I can tell you maybe how it happened, because when I was an assistant pro before I ever got on the tour out in California, our local club, the putting green was literally 20 feet outside the pro shop door, and we didn't have hardly many members play after about 2:30, 3 o'clock, so I'd be out there all afternoon putting every day, just listening for the phone to ring.
Are you a player that stuck with a putter or a small group of putters, or were you the sort of the walrus where they said, where's your putter? And he said, well, that one couldn't swim.
Well, you know, I think I've had 4 putters my whole life.
That's what I thought.
I started out with an old Tommy Armour offset blade putter when I was younger, when a kid. It's 34 inches, and I would get out in those 80s on the first 80s on the tour, and I would maybe have 2 good days, but I'd always have at least one day that I didn't make anything, okay? And obviously that would kill me. So I just remember my old coach that kind of got me there one day he finally came out and he said, here, this is I want you to practice with this putter. And it was an old TPA 18 TaylorMade with a kind of a big round head on an offset. The shaft was 36 and a half inches long, a big old heavy metal shaft with a round leather grip on it. And he said, hey, I want you to practice with this. And so I started practicing with it. I said, doggone, I like this. And I actually put it in the bag the next week, and I started putting better. And I moved on from there. Now, I had a couple of different styles. Obviously, I had to deal with TaylorMade for years, so I putted with a particular putter that they designed for me. But I had my shaft and my grip on it always. And that's kind of what I've always stuck to.
It's fascinating. I want to keep talking to you about putting, but just for a second, step away and ask about the work that you're doing with the First Tee of Memphis. Mm-hmm. How much does it pull at your heartstrings to be able to give back that way?
Well, I just love to see the kids get interested in golf, and I love to see kids that maybe wouldn't have the opportunity to be around the game get there, and to be around other kids. Because, you know, obviously we have kids that play golf and know golf, and then we have kids that never really seen it. And to see them get around kids that love the game, and then they get attached to the game, and they make friends that they normally probably wouldn't make, and then they get together and play golf at different times in the summertime. And I don't know, that's what I like about it. And I always like the idea of the game of, you know, the rules and the manner of the game and how you react. And that's what I've always loved about golf.
It's amazing stuff. I do want to ask you about yips as well, Lauren, because when you're talking about strategy and approach and a positive mental mindset, I mean, we know that yips is a neurological misfire. Have you ever seen anyone in your eyes, whether it's Bernhard Langer or whomever, that has changed an approach to putting that has been able to overcome that?
Well, yeah, you go straight to Langer. I mean, he's overcome it a couple times. He's absolutely amazing to me, that how good he plays at his age. He's amazing. But yeah, he definitely has done a great job about that.
Do you have any advice for people that are struggling with it?
I would say you've got to get out and practice, okay? You've got to come up with a routine that you have to go through. If you're standing over a 3-foot putt and you're thinking about, oh, I'm going to miss it, and all of a sudden, oh, my right hand gets a little in. To me, hands are involved in the stroke because you set the angle on the backswing. I've told you that about having the butt end putted at your belt buckle on the backstroke so that you have release when you go through. Now, okay, so if you get out and you just control those hands with the shoulder rotation. I've always felt like I wanted to have just a little bit of a squeeze in both my armpits so that I've got my arms attached to my chest, and then I rotate my shoulders. To me, I've always felt it's easier to control the big muscles than it is the smaller muscles.
That's interesting, because it is very much in keeping like with the philosophy of someone you mentioned already with Mike Shannon, where he was telling me that because the green speeds are getting so much faster in today's world of golf, that back in the day when you had the players of the sort of like a Gary Player that would pop the ball and very much were handsy through the stroke, that you need to be putting with the body was the way that it was described. That seems to be in keeping with your philosophy as well.
That's exactly what I've done. I want to work on my shoulder rotation, keep my arms attached to my chest. Obviously, my hands are going to set the angle of the backswing a little bit because I want to be able to release the putter shaft through there to control my speed.
I am certain that throughout the course of the career of Lauren Roberts, that there were players that had flat-out envy for what the boss of the Moss was able to do on the greens. When we come back from this break, I want to go down that road of hatred and find out what people had to say to him about his ability to get the ball in the hole when he needed to. Stay with us.
I guess hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning 3 resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports, or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Stride by Zero Friction, the first of its kind personal caddy. Walk in comfort and style with Stride's remote and follow me technology. The Stride handles almost any terrain, and its 54-hole range will last all day. The lightweight design and removable front wheels makes it simple to handle. Plus, it easily fits golf carts. Order yours and save. Visit zerofriction.com/stride or scan the QR code to order yours today. Stride, your personal caddy.
Everybody agrees Lauren Roberts is an amazing guest this morning, talking about the mysteries that surround the world of putting. Hey, Dom, I'm going to bring you back in here again. I want to get an update on your question of the day. You guys can weigh in on the Fairways of Life YouTube channel, but I'd also like to hear what the people are thinking, what they'd like to ask of Lauren.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions coming in, Lauren. We really, really appreciate the time. Absolutely extraordinary insight. They're getting more and more confident. 55% now. They're just, I think the more you talk, Lauren, the more just like, hey, you know what? I am a good putter. I can do this. I got it all figured out. But I want to throw a couple quick questions at you. I'll go one at a time here. Now, more than one person has asked this, and I'm just curious what you think about it. And you've seen it most recently, comes to mind, Jordan Spieth. Players that choose to look at the hole during their stroke. What do you think about that? Is there value in that?
Well, I've seen that, and that's something that I've never even thought about before. But I can understand that working. It's like in other sports, okay? In golf, you're hitting the ball here at impact, but you're trying to put it in the hole over here. Well, you know, there's other sports, if you're throwing a pass or you're throwing a pitch or something, you're looking at where you want that ball to go to move this. So I can understand how that could work in golf.
Let me jump in. One more, Lauren. I appreciate it. The people have a lot to say about this.
Okay.
I got multiple questions coming in about grip pressure when you're putting.
Mm. Yes.
What do you think about grip pressure when you're putting? Is there something there, or does it matter if you're holding it too tight? Is that really going to screw you up?
Yes. You need to hold it so it's in your hands. But if I were to walk up to you and grab the head and pull that putter, it should come out of your hands. Okay. You want to just hold that, because you're making that stroke and there's going to be a release to that putting stroke. So
the last thing I'll comment here, Matt, and then I'll let you pick it back up. I had a third category. You know, do you believe you're a good putter? Yes, no. And my last option was I am broken. And that's at 2%. So there's some people that are they're ruined. They've been ruined. They're done.
We feel for the 2%. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Lauren, I've been dying to ask you, when you watch, Andrew, if you could put that graphic back up on the screen that we started the show with today. And you're looking at these great ball strikers like Scottie Scheffler, mm-hmm. and Colin Morikawa, and yeah. Tony Finau was defending this week in Mexico, et cetera. When you see Scottie Scheffler, number one ranked player in the world right now, and you see him struggling on the greens, watching the golf coverage or what have you, what does your instinct tell you? How would Lauren Roberts fix Scottie Scheffler's putting?
Gosh, that's an area that I don't know if I want to get into talking about other players, but you know, he has his own routine, and you know, people have talked about it. You know, how he turns through and he kicks his right foot through there and all that. He has his own routine how he hits the ball, and for me, I think he should have that same routine and same thing about when he putts. You know, he just you have that routine, and they both kind of have to match. You know, you can't have one way of feel like I'm swinging the club and the way you see it, and then totally try to change your tempo or change your rhythm or whatever you do with when you putt, because it's still, like I've said, trying to say, the putting stroke is just, it's still a swing of the golf club. It's just a much shorter one, but it's a swing of the golf club.
When I hear you say that, I'm trying to sort through your words so to understand. It sounds mm-hmm. to me, Lauren, like you're talking about freeing yourself up to putt. Would that be a fair way to interpret it?
That's exactly where I'm trying to go with this. What I'm trying to say in the way that would be somewhat instructional, you know, or whatever. It's you just need to free yourself up, and like we talked about earlier, the ball doesn't have to go dead center in the hole. You just have to get it around the hole. If it's so much easier to putt, and this is just purely my feeling about this, is it's so much easier to putt, especially when you get inside the 10-foot range. It's so much easier to putt when you think about, okay, I just got to get this thing. I see the line. I'm going to hit it. I just want to make sure I got the right speed and just get it around the hole. If you just get it around the hole, it's going to go in.
All right, so if you don't mind, because you're being so gracious to us, I would love to pick your brain about more drills that all of us can do to become a better putter. You've gone through a couple of them, but can we keep going down this road? Kind of give us a glimpse into how you did it.
Well, here's the deal about controlling speed. And this is what I tell, you know, amateur people that I talk to that ask me about putting. And I say, okay. And a lot of these guys, and you know, you probably do it. You're at your job, you run around, and you're supposed to meet the guys and play at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You're there late, and so you run to the tee. I said, well, listen, if you can't do anything at all, spend 10 minutes on the putting green, and that will slow your tempo down. That will slow you down, get you ready for the round. What you do is you find some good, long, hard putts. You want to go 25, 30, 35 feet, and you hit three or four of those up the hill and over the hill, and just work on controlling your speed. You try to get it around the hole, and then you turn around and you putt the next four or five putts down the hill from 30, 35 feet, because I want you to get a feeling for the speed of the slope of the green before you go play. You want to get a feeling for how do I control my speed? You want to learn how am I going to control my speed when I'm out there, when I have that putt, because nothing messes you up more than to run out there and miss a 4-footer for par the first hole and then 3-putt the next hole from 40 feet. All right. I mean, you've ruined your whole round already. So, you need to, and I, even the best players, I tell, work on speed control. Because I see a lot of guys out there, and they're working on their stroke. They'll have their little machines where they're making the putter do this and do that. That's great, working on mechanics. But ultimately, you need to be able to control your speed. So practice the longest, hardest putts you can find on the practice green. And the toughest ones are the ones where the first part goes uphill and the hole is on the other side of the hill. So then it's downhill to the hole. Practice those, because that helps you get a feeling or how am I going to control my speed?
That's absolutely fascinating. Before we went to the last break, I was kidding about people who have the gift of putting, whether it's self-earned or whether it comes from the golfing gods, and then the people who don't have it. The people who don't have it tend to get pretty mad at the people who did because of what they don't possess. I'm curious about what you heard, and I'm sure we can't use all of the language as colorful as it may have been back in the day, when you were playing with people who were shaking their head watching you do your thing. Who did you hear from back in those days? Who did you used to have some good banter with?
You know, I'm not going to give that up. I mean, come on, man.
I'm not
giving that up. No, I felt very, very, very fortunate to have the career I had, because, you know, my putter saved me. That was just what was my part of the game, because that's the way I grew up. You know, I was very fortunate that way, but we're all competitive, okay? And like I said, I would use that that mental seismic of, okay, maybe you're a better ball striker than me or whatever, you know, but okay, Now I put my shot on the green. Now you're in my stadium, okay? Now you're playing a home game at my stadium. Now that's just a mental approach that I used to use, you know. But I'm not going to give anybody up on that. I'm sorry.
All right, here I'm going to change the question though for you, because as you know, Davis Love III's dad used to tell him, "Have dinner with good putters." Who used to have dinners with Lauren Roberts?
I used to hang around with Tommy Lehman and Larry Mize and those guys. Those are my era. Tommy Lehman and I met at like the tour school in 1983. We had to go back and I had to go back and requalify.
Amazing. So, how much you playing golf now? Can we expect to see you out there at all?
I may show up once or twice this year just to kind of see the guys. I'm still doing some recovery stuff, but I love the game and I love to go play with my friends.
Oh, so you do get a chance to get out and play. You've got some buddies that you hang out with and you're out in the golf course.
Oh, yeah.
We've only got about a minute left, but I do want to ask you about this before we say goodbye. The tour is about to swing through Florida. We're going to be talking about Bermuda grass. We're talking about different grain. Any tidbits that you can give us in 30 seconds about dealing with grain?
Well, grain is not what it used to be 30 years ago when I started, because of the new grasses they have, the way they cut it now, the way they mow, they take a lot of the grain out. But yeah, read the grain. Look at the edge of the cup. Which side of the cup is kind of rounded off and worn? The grain always runs from the clean cut side to the worn off side, and generally follows the slope unless you're in Hawaii. Then it follows the sun that way.
Absolutely amazing. Lauren, thank you so much for the massive amount of time and insights that you've given us today with putting. I hope you've cleared up the mystery a little bit for some people. You've definitely helped me, or at least given us all a lot to think about. But it was great to hear from you. Really great to see you again.
I appreciate it very much. I mean, I'm just very thankful just to, you know, I didn't win a major on the regular tour or anything, but I'm just so thankful to be out there and do something that I totally enjoy, and to be able to have a career out of it. It's just I've been so blessed my whole life.
It's amazing. Well, it was good to see you, my friend. And folks, to all of you, thank you so much for your company. Bye for now.